The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
If you have a Bible, I want you to open it to Revelation 13. Again, while you're doing that, if this is your first time joining us, I want to welcome you today. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, the pastor of End Time Headlines. And we welcome you to our podcast. We welcome you to our YouTube channel. We welcome you to Facebook Live. Today, we are going to delve into originally I put a four-part series, but we may go more than that. I don't know how this kind of thing is kind of evolving. But today we're going to start our first message of a multi-series message dealing with the book of Revelation chapter 13. So today I want to deal with the rise of the beast and his final empire. So today we're going to delve into this thing and we're going to talk about the Antichrist of the Bible. We're going to talk about the Antichrist of the Bible. Revelation 13 is where I'm at. And before we get into this thing, I want to talk about, there's some things that we got to bring out first. Number one is in order to understand the book of Revelation, if you're a newcomer to your walk with God, you've not been serving the Lord very long, and you get into the book of Revelation, it can be very confusing. It can be very intimidating. Because it's so filled with symbolism and pictures and typologies. And I did a study on this and because I wondered the same thing. Why didn't John the Revelator speak plainly when he wrote this so that this wouldn't be left with so many different interpretations and whatnot? And the answer to that is, when John the Revelator was exiled to the island of Patmos, this is where he wrote this, the Roman Empire was the authority then. And when he wrote the book of Revelation, he used pictures, he used illustrations, typologies, and different things. And he did that to purposely veil the interpretation so that, remember, the Isaiah said there would come a time when those who have eyes to see will not be able to see, but those who cannot see or not permitted to see will see. In other words, when the Holy Spirit permits you to, the veil will be lifted. It's interesting when you go to the book of Daniel, and I'm going to talk about this in a second too. Daniel and John the Revelator saw hand in hand everything. When you start reading the book of Revelation, they saw many things simultaneously, even though they were thousands of years apart. They saw things simultaneously. Not thousands of years apart. Let me correct that. Even though there was a great margin of time between them, Daniel and John the Revelator saw things that were very parallel, and we'll talk about that. But again, I want to go back to the reason why this book is a mystery to many people is because, again, it's very intimidating because of the illustrations, the typologies. And because, again, John the Revelator had to do this in order for him to escape off the island of Patmos with the book of Revelation. Because if he would have spoke derogatory, for example, towards the Roman Empire, they would have never let him come off the island of Patmos, and they would have destroyed the book of Revelation, and you and I would have never gotten to be able to read this. So, again, watch this. Daniel and John the Revelator saw many events in the scriptures mentioned in the book of Revelation. For example, Daniel saw a time frame that we call 7 years. In Hebrew, it's called one prophetic week. This is in Daniel 9:27. Again, in Hebrew, Daniel saw a time frame of one prophetic week, which again, we interpret that as 7 years. This is where you get the 7 year tribulation from. John the Revelator saw this in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. He saw the same time frame, but he divided the time frame up into two 42 month periods. That's 3.5 years and 3.5 years. Both John and Daniel saw the beast that we're talking about today, the first beast, and we'll read this in Revelation 13 in a second. Daniel saw him as the fourth beast, described him as the fourth beast that would arise, Daniel 7:7. John the Revelator saw him as the first beast rising up out of the sea, Revelation 13:1. Daniel saw and described the end time or the great trouble upon the earth as such a time, and this is what is described in Daniel 12:1. He described it as such a time as never was or ever shall be. John the Revelator saw the same thing prophetically, and he called it as a time of wrath and trouble, Revelation 12:7-12. Did you know that John and Daniel both saw Michael the archangel? Daniel saw him standing up in the time of trouble, Daniel 12:1. John actually saw Michael the archangel warring with Satan when he would be ousted from heaven. This is where the war in the heavens take place. This is Revelation 12:7. Both John and Daniel saw 10 kings that in the future will rise up in the final days. Daniel saw 10 horns, and he described these as 10 kings, Daniel 7:24. John saw the 10 horns that were wearing 10 crowns that were 10 kings, Revelation 13:1. Both men saw the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom. Daniel saw this and described it as an everlasting kingdom ruled by the Messiah, Daniel 7:13-14. John the Revelator saw this as a time in which Christ would return the earth and he would make war in the war of Armageddon, Revelation 19:11. All right, now that leads us to our text, Revelation 13. We're going to get into this now, Revelation 13. And guys, you'll have to excuse me because allergies are kicking in. So if you see or hear me stop briefly and take a drink of water, that's because the pollen is really bad right now. Revelation 13, John the Revelator says, this is what he saw. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now I'm going to read this till verse 4, and then I'm going to stop and go back, and we're going to break this down. This beast had 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave the authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" All right, so we got to break this down. Now, the New Testament gospel, the New Testament of the Bible was written in Greek. So we're going to pull out some Greek words here. The law of interpretation of scripture, it talks about this line on line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little. There's what's called the law of first mention when you interpret scripture. So we're going to use the combination of all these when we begin to dissect and pull out some stuff out of Revelation 13. John the Revelator says, "I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast." Now this word beast in Greek means a wild beast. It's a untamable force to be reckoned with. He says, "I saw this beast rising up out of the Mediterranean Sea." The sea that John the Revelator saw here is the same sea that Daniel saw in Daniel 7:1-4. Daniel described the sea as the Great Sea. John is talking about the Mediterranean Sea basin. Now, why is that important? This is very important when we start talking about the anatomy of the Antichrist. When you begin to learn where he's going to rise out of, his location, the terms and the names, and we're going to break all that down today. You're going to see where the most probable location is that the Antichrist is going to come to power at. All the end times, all this, Revelation 13, is not centered in the White House. It's not centered in France or in Australia. It's centered in the Mideast. It's centered around the Mediterranean Sea location. All right? So John saw this beast coming up out of the sea or this region. Now, your Bible uses the term Antichrist. In Greek, it's horantokristos. The word Antichrist was coined by John, and it was used four times by the Apostle John. And the word Antichrist actually means, if you want to be technical, it means against Christ or one who opposes Christ. Now, let's talk about this. I want to give you the four references to Antichrist by John. So if you're taking notes, I'll try to slow this down and you can take notes. Ready? 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time or the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. That Antichrist shall come. Even now, and he was speaking present tense at that time that he wrote this, there are many Antichrists, plural tense, whereby we know that is the last time. Now, was John confused and said, there's more than one Antichrist? No. Again, the term Antichrist means against Christ or one who opposes Christ. In John's day, in Paul's day, in Peter's day, these are some of the New Testament apostles that wrote many of the books that you read in the New Testament. They were dealing with heretics in their day. These were false apostles and false prophets that were coming up and rising up among them, and they were against Christ and they were opposing Christ. So this is why John said there are many, plural tense, present tense, at that time that he wrote that, there were many that were opposing Christ or against Christ. All right, but listen to this, 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? Now he's talking about characteristics. Who's a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ or the anointed one. He is Antichrist. Again, he's talking about the spirit of Antichrist here, not the Antichrist definitive. We're going to talk about that in a second. That denies the Father and the Son. All this is going to be important, guys, when we get into this. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit, somebody say spirit, that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is not of God, this is that spirit of Antichrist. I want you to say that, spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So here we go. Now, when you put, and I'm going to read one more scripture here by John. When you put this together, you'll discover there was a spirit of Antichrist that was alive and present in John's day, and it was working and speaking and operating through men in his day. Now, he gives you the attributes of those things. Let me read 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So in 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 7, John tells you the spirit of Antichrist and what its nature is, the characteristics of it, and its attributes are. And it will be not the spirit of Antichrist will be marked by three things. Ready? Number one, the spirit of Antichrist will deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you don't, just to make this simple, the deity of Christ means, and I looked this up and I'm just going to read this. The deity of Jesus is considered an essential doctrine and is the central non-negotiable. In other words, this is non-negotiable. It is a non-negotiable belief within Christianity, also known as the divinity of Christ. This doctrine asserts that Jesus Christ was in the Son of God incarnate. In other words, He was half man and half God. He came, come on, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. If you don't believe that, friends, you can't even be saved according to the gospel. So number one, the spirit of Antichrist will deny the deity of Christ. Number two, the spirit of Antichrist will deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And number three, the spirit of Antichrist will deny the relationship between the Father and the Son, which kind of dovetails off number two. Now, in case you didn't know this, there is major religions, and I can think of one right off the bat that wholeheartedly believes, adheres to, and teaches. One of them is Islam. It's written in the Hadith, which is the oral writings of the Prophet Muhammad, and then in the Quran. In both of these, they believe, teach, and adhere to that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and that God had no son. Now, according to your Bible, not my opinion, but according to your Bible, that is the spirit of what? Come on, see if you're holding with me here. The spirit of Antichrist. Now some would say, well, brother, and I've heard a lot of preterists, and I didn't say a pedophile, I said a preterist. And that term is a term given to individuals who believe and teach that all of Matthew 24, Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all those events were all fulfilled in 70 AD. They believe and they teach that, every bit of that. So they will teach you that these references that I just showed you of 1 John 2, 1 John 4, and 2 John 7, they will try to point that to the Antichrist that was already here, and they will say that this was Nero. But that is not the case. And this is not the Antichrist. Listen, don't let somebody deceive you and tell you that the Antichrist is your flesh. There's some weird stuff out there, guys. There's some weird teaching out there. There's some people that teach the Antichrist is your flesh. The Antichrist is now no disrespect, but there's a dear brother. He's a teacher, an evangelist, an author, and a prophetic speaker. And he has a book that just came out, and he even kind of alludes in his book that the Antichrist can be artificial intelligence and not an actual man. Well, I absolutely vehemently disagree with that. Now, I believe that it could be the image of the beast with artificial intelligence and all that. I absolutely, 100% believe that could be part of that. And we'll talk about that in another segment. But the Antichrist is an actual flesh and blood man that will be empowered by Satan. I'm going to prove that right here. We go. Guys, and listen, if you can't sit here and watch all this, I'm not going to rush this. I know people want you to do all this in 20 minutes, and I can't do it. This is a teaching, not a preaching. This is a teaching. So we're going to take our time. We're going to break it down. And those who are hungry and they like the meat of the word, they're going to enjoy this. All right, so let's get into the Antichrist. All of in 2 Thessalonians, you could turn there. I'm going to read this to you. If you want to turn there, you can follow me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3-6. This is written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Thessalonica. And you're going to discover here, there is 7 places in this entire passage of scripture from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3-6, that he absolutely defines the Antichrist as a man. Ready? Here we go. Now see, look, if Zoom was working like I wanted it to, I could pull this up on the screen and show you what I'm looking at, and it would have been a lot better. So let's pray that Facebook gets that worked out. Here it is, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 6. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshiped, so that he sets as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And there's another he. I missed that one. There's another one. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So again, you got 8 places that use masculine pronouns to identify the Antichrist. It didn't say an it. So this is why, this is my argument or my rebuttal to the Antichrist being artificial intelligence or a cyborg. It uses he, himself, son, so his. So we have to, again, stick with scripture. Now we're going to get into some interesting stuff. Let's give you some facts about the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to give you where these are found for most of these. Some of these, I typed them up so fast, but trust me, they're in the Word of God. You can be a good Berean when you get off here, and you can study the scripture, you can search the scriptures and see if these things be so. All right, here we go. Ready? I'm not going to go fast. I'm going to slow it down. Number one, the Antichrist is a man who will form a final empire that Daniel did not see, but John did see. What are you talking about, preacher? Daniel saw 7 empires of Bible prophecy, and we're going to mention those in a second. But John saw 8. All right, remember I told you Daniel and John saw all these parallels. The only thing that John saw that Daniel didn't was the 8th and final empire. John saw 7, Daniel saw 8. Number two, the Antichrist is a man who will make a treaty with the nation of Israel for 7 years. Number three, the Antichrist will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And by the way, I believe they're all setting the stage for that right now. We've talked about that in other segments. I don't have time to get into that. Number four, the Antichrist will directly be involved in a final battle called Armageddon. Number five, the Antichrist will bring peace, but he will only bring it to those who pledge their allegiance to him, but those who come against him or oppose him will be killed by the sword. You can find this in the book of Revelation. And he comes on a white horse, the Antichrist does. He comes as the rider with a bow with no arrows. Why? Because he comes in a diplomacy of peace, but his true colors and his true identity is revealed shortly thereafter. The next thing is, the Antichrist, again, and this leads me to this, he comes in peace but reveals his true motive mid-tribulation. The next part, the Antichrist will work hand in hand with the false prophet. And we've got a whole segment dedicated to that, and that would be the second beast of Revelation 13. And we're going to talk about that in a whole other segment. The Antichrist will blaspheme and use blasphemous names. He will have blasphemous names on its heads, or the heads of his empires. This is not the heads on his shoulders. And we're going to talk about that in a second in Revelation 13. These point to his character. Revelation 13 says he will have a mouth full of blasphemy. He will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped as God. Remember, guys, in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Isaiah, that's all he ever wanted to begin with. He wanted to be, there were seven I wills. I will exalt my throne above God. I will put my name above God. I will be like the Most High. Seven things. I will. He was trying to exalt himself above God. And this is what got him thrown out of heaven to begin with. So here's what's interesting is he always wanted his face in the spotlight, and he wanted to have power. And you know what? In the book of Revelation, he is going to have his time. He will have 3.5 years in which he will have full power, full reign. And we're going to get into that. He's going to give him 3.5 years. And it's interesting because Jesus, the Son of God's ministry on earth was 3.5 years. And he's going to give the false Messiah or the Antichrist 3.5 years. Wow. All right. Again, he will have a mouth which speaks pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. He will make war against the saints and prevail against them. Daniel 7. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. And again, he shall persecute the saints of the Most High. This is Daniel 7. Listen to this. This Antichrist, when he comes into power, he will attempt to change the times and laws. Let me say that again. When he comes into power, he will attempt to change the times and laws. Whatever the religion is of this Antichrist, he will change the times and laws to be centered around this Antichrist religion and his faith, if you want to call that. He will make war against the saints and prevail over them. Daniel 7. I read that already. This is all kind of bundled up here. The saints shall be given into his hand for a time. Daniel 7. The Antichrist will rule for 3.5 years. Daniel 7. The Antichrist will take up an army. We'll get more in detail about that in a second. That's Daniel 8. The Antichrist will put an end to Jewish sacrifices and feasts. This is when he takes over Jerusalem. Daniel 8. Why is he going to do that? Because again, he's setting up his own kingdom, and it will be based on his own religion. The Antichrist will understand sinister schemes. He will be a man of great wisdom. Daniel 8. Through cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. Daniel 8. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Daniel 8. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. When I was studying this, guys, this really leaped out at me. I want to say this again. The people of the prince who is to come. The prince who is to come is one of the many terms of the Antichrist. And we're going to give you all the terms of the Antichrist in a second. But notice it says that he will have a people. He will have a following. Your Bible says in the book of Revelation, the whole world wanders after the beast. He will be a man of popularity. He will be a man of military power. He'll be a man of great wisdom and deceit. Remember, I told you, through sinister sayings, he will deceive. Think about this, guys. He's going to deceive Israel into signing a covenant of peace for 7 years. And we all know how that ends. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. The Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Again, in Hebrew, that's 7 years. But in the middle of the week, or in the middle of the 7 years, that's 3.5 years, 42 months, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations, that's on the temple in Jerusalem, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined. In other words, this is where your second beast comes into play, the false prophet. And together they create this image of the beast. Again, that's a whole other segment, and we'll talk about that. And when the Jews that are there see this thing, they're going to be so terrified and know that it's so blasphemous that it will make Jerusalem desolate, just like the word of God says. The Antichrist shall act deceitfully, Daniel 9. The Antichrist shall come up, listen to this, and be strong with a small number of people, Daniel 9. So he'll start out small. He'll start out small in his influence. He'll start out small in his notoriety. He'll start out small with a small army. He will rise up, but he will become great. Listen to this. The Antichrist, this is all in Daniel 9, guys, by the way, in case you were wondering. He will enter peaceably. I told you that earlier in Revelation. It says he comes on a white horse with a bow with no arrows. He shall enter by peace into the richest places of the province. Now, what's interesting, when you break this down in Daniel 9 in the Hebrew, the word richest in the richest place is oily. And the word province here is the word Medina, where in Saudi Arabia. So when you read this, it says he shall enter peaceably even into the oily places of Medina. Now you do know that Saudi Arabia is where Islam was founded. And I already told you the religion of Islam, what they believe about Jesus. Just throwing that out there. That's going to be interesting. The Antichrist shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time, Daniel 9. The Antichrist shall do according to his own will. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god. Think about that. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. The Antichrist shall regard neither the God of his fathers. Now I'm about to make a statement here that seems to imply, I don't know how you want to interpret this, but there's been much speculation about this verse of scripture I'm about to read to you about the Antichrist for years, and it's found in Daniel 9. I'm going to read this really slow. Let me read this. Hold on. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. I'm going to say that again. Your Bible says the Antichrist will not desire women. Is it possible that the Antichrist will be a homosexual? It's very possible based on this scripture. And I've double checked this, you know, unless he was a, you know, the Bible talks about in the New Testament, eunuchs, a eunuch in the New Testament was an individual who chose to remain a virgin by their own will. They were eunuchs by choice. Now we know there's eunuchs by force and there's eunuchs by choice, but unless it's referring to the Antichrist being a eunuch by choice. There's only two plausible explanations here, guys. Either he's a eunuch, or again, he has literally no desire for women. Just something to chew on here for a second. Nor shall he regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Again, that's what he wanted to begin with all along. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses. That's very interesting. And a God which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and with silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge and advance. Now this is why I believe that the Antichrist will not be Jewish. Because the God of the Antichrist is not going to be the God of the Jews, whether it be Messianic Jews or not. Again, when you read that scripture, the God of the Antichrist is going to be a God whom the God of his fathers or his people did not know or never served. Or it calls it a foreign God, the God of fortresses. It's really interesting how it uses this terminology. He shall acknowledge and advance his glory, and he shall cause him to rule over many and divide the land for gain. And divide the land for gain. Oh, that's interesting. Zechariah 12, Joel 3 talks about the dividing of the land of Israel. Could it be possible that the Antichrist is somehow directly involved with the division of Israel? Think about it. What has the enemy wanted to do from day one is cause division. All right, so that's Daniel 11, by the way. And then he shall enter into the glorious land, that's Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. Now, here's where he starts overthrowing nations. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon, Daniel 11. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries of the land of Egypt, and it shall not escape. So he overthrows Egypt. And then it says, he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. So we know right here from scripture in Daniel 11 that when the Antichrist starts out small, how do you think he gains such strength and such power and such a following? Because he starts out small and he overthrows Egypt. He overthrows Libya. He overthrows the Ethiopians. So he starts gaining momentum. He starts gaining force. He starts gaining strength. And then, my goodness, the whole world is looking and wandering after the beast. Did you know the Bible says, who can make war with the beast? Again, he starts out peaceably. He's a man of peace. He's a man of great wisdom. He's a man that has all the answers to the problem world. It almost, guys, when you look across the land, when you look across the world now and you see the condition of the world and the chaos that the world is in right now, isn't it plausible to think that a man such as what we read about in the book of Daniel coming in and entering into and having all the answers up to the equations and to the solutions of the world and entering in as a man of peace, I'm telling you, we are seeing the stepping stones to this. Everything is being prepared for this. And the world will eat it up. Oh, I could take a rabbit trail right now and I could tell you about how we're seeing draconian measures popping up all over the states of America. I'm talking about people being arrested, church folks sitting in a car with their windows up in the parking lot with no physical contact and police swarming on the property and giving them fines. We're talking about people being, we're talking about World Health Organization suggesting coming in and taking people out by force. And people are saying, oh, yes, do whatever it takes. We'll do whatever you say. What are people going to do, my friends, when the food starts drying up, when agriculture starts drying up, when we get into a full-blown famine? People will sell their souls for food and water and peace and security. How do you, you don't want me to see, I'm going to get into the system of the beast, the mark of the beast. And when we get into that, I'll really plow into that. And you can really see how all this is going to be suchly widely embraced by this. All right. So again, he overthrows Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Verse 44 of Daniel 11, but news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. Sounds like Hitler, doesn't it? And I believe with all my heart, the spirit, I didn't say the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, I believe empowered Hitler. And I believe it empowered Stalin. And these men were raised up prematurely because I believe Satan was trying to perform what we're reading about right here. I think he tried to initiate it, but it was premature and God stopped it. So it's only a matter of time until this thing happens again. That which was is that which shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun. That's why that's what preterists base all this on, guys, is they believe there's so many There's so many parallels of what we read about future tense that happened in 70 AD. They said, well, that, my goodness, that already happened. That was fulfilled in 70 AD under Nero, or it was fulfilled under Antiochus Epiphanes. He took a pig and he slaughtered it and he put it on the altar and he desecrated. No, these were pictures. These were preludes. These were previews. But the main attraction has not come yet. And that's where we're headed. And that's what we're talking about today. He shall plant the tent of his palace between the seas, plural tense, and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. Daniel 11. Now we get a lot of, there is a lot of, excuse me, guys, there is a lot of, there's a lot of teaching out there on YouTube, blogs, whatever, that will tell you things like, oh, the, and you've heard, guys, listen, I've heard all this. The Antichrist is Prince Harry. The Antichrist was Bill Clinton. No, it was Barack Obama. No, it's Trump. No, it's this guy. It's that guy. No. Let me give you the descriptions and titles of the Antichrist is going to begin to reveal in a more clear picture where this man is going to rise up out of and come to power. First of all, if you go to Revelation 13, 1, John told you that the beast, which we now know is the Antichrist, the beast is going to rise up out of the Mediterranean Sea area. Where is he going to rise up out of? The White House? No. He's going to rise up out of that region, that area. That's where John saw it. Now, let's give you some of these names. And I'm going to slow it down so you can take notes. He's called in Daniel 7, 8, the little horn. And Daniel 8, 23, he's called the king of fierce countenance. Daniel 9, 20. And by the way, that's not Obama. I'm sorry, but when I look at Obama, I don't see a king of fierce countenance. Sorry, I don't. I don't see that in Prince Harry. I don't see that in Bill Clinton. I don't see it in Donald Trump. I don't see a king of fierce countenance. All right. Daniel 9:26. He is called the prince who is to come. Now, that's not a play on words there, guys. There is princes in the Mideast. Jordan, Saudi Arabia, these locations, they have what is there. There's real princes. That's very interesting. He's called a prince who is to come. Could it be possible that whoever the Antichrist is that will rise to power will have a position as a prince in one of these nations, and then he will be promoted up, or he will take on another role? I don't know. Again, this is why we're throwing this out there. Daniel 9:27, it defines the Antichrist as the one who makes desolate. Daniel 11:36, it calls the Antichrist the king who shall do according to his own will. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, he's called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, he's called the lawless one. 1 John 2:22, the Antichrist. And finally, Revelation 11:7, he's called the beast. So again, here's about what, 10, 12 different titles here. All right, now let's go back to the scripture, Revelation 13. Revelation 13, listen what it says here. Having seven heads and 10 horns. I'm right here in verse, and then I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rising up. So here's this beast rising up out of the sea. It's the Antichrist. We've concluded with that now. And John said, this beast had seven heads and 10 horns. Now, what is this? These seven heads are seven empires of biblical prophecy. They were first seen by Daniel the prophet. Now you want to talk about something that'll drive you absolutely nutty is when you start going, you get on Google and you type in who are the seven empires of prophecy. I promise you, you'll get 50 interpretations. So I'm just going to give you 51. Okay. So I'm going to give you from all my studies, I'm going to give you who these seven empires are, what I believe these seven empires are. And I base this upon biblical prophetic ministers that I have sat under for years and years and years. So can you disagree with me? Sure, you probably will. Because again, you're going to find 50 different people that's going to say 50 different things. So I believe the seven empires of Bible prophecy are Egypt, Assyria, and this order too. Egypt, or the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and Persians, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. By the way, the Roman Empire was in power in John's day. And then the Roman Empire split east and west. And that's your two legs of Bible prophecy. This is the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saw the statue with the head of gold, and he saw the arms and the waist and all this. This is the interpretation of these empires. And then you get down to the 10 toes, or the 2 feet and the 10 toes, which are a mixture of clay or iron and clay. All right. These 10, and by the way, if I could have pulled up this image that I wanted to, and you guys will see this on YouTube, but when our troops went, and I've said this before, when the troops went over in the Gulf War and they pulled down the statue of Saddam Hussein, it was, when I saw this, I about flipped out because I understood this is a prophetic sign. When they ripped the statue off the concrete placement in which it was sitting on, the only thing that was left standing on the concrete pad was the 2 feet and 10 toes. And I believe prophetically, the Lord was showing, we've went through all these empires and now we're at the 2 feet and the 10 toes. This is where we're heading up to. All right. So the seven heads, I believe, are these right here. Again, Egypt, Assyria, the head of gold, which was the Babylonian Empire, the chest and arms of silver, which was the Medes and Persians. And then they were taken over by the Grecian Empire that was head up by Alexander the Great. And that would be the belly and thighs of bronze. Then you have the legs of iron, which is the Roman Empire that eventually split between east and west, making two legs. And then you come down with the feet, the 2 feet and the 10 toes. Again, there's different interpretations of what this could mean. Some say that it could represent a mixture of democracy and communism, or a mixture of weaker and stronger nations, or Western nations and Islamic nations. And by the way, what's interesting, when you get into these nations, a lot of these are Islamic. All right. So you have your seven heads and your 10 horns. Who are these 10 horns? These 10 horns are 10 nations that will come to power in the last days. They will already be in power. They will already be set up. And then when the Antichrist comes to power, he will rise up from among them, because he's called the little horn that rises up among them. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me read on the rest of this, and we'll get into that in a second. And on his horns, on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads are blasphemous names. Now the beast which I saw like a leopard, again, that's the Grecian Empire. His feet were like the feet of a bear. That's the Medo-Persian Empire. And his mouth was like the mouth of a lion, the Babylonian Empire. So this beast system will make up these three previous nation root, the roots of these three nations, the blueprints of these nations will be in this, the DNA. Again, if you want to know the DNA of the eighth and final empire, it's going to be Greece, Media Persia, and Babylon. Now, who was Babylon? Assyria, Lebanon, in Iraq. That was ancient Babylon. All right. So the 10 horns are again 10 future nations that will emerge and form before the Antichrist comes to power. All right. Now let me get into this. Let's read on here. Verse 7. I want to get into verse 7. Or no, I'm sorry. I don't know why it skipped over. Let's read this here. Now the beast, which I saw like a leopard, we read that. The dragon gave him his power. Now this is really interesting. When you read about the dragon gave the power to the Antichrist. Well, who is the dragon? Well, guys, I can answer that. The dragon is Satan. Remember Revelation 12, it talks about the dragon. It talks about the dragon swings his tail and a third of the stars fall from heaven. There's all these pictures in Revelation. It mentions the dragon. And actually, the Greek word dragon is drakon, or where we get a serpent, the great fiery red serpent, or drakon, or dragon. All right, so Satan will empower the Antichrist. Let's read on. Now, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And verse 3 of Revelation 13, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. Now, again, this is one of my pet peeves when I read this. Novels have been written based on this. Movies have been produced by this. And that is a narrative that when the Antichrist comes into power, he will be shot in the head. He will be assassinated. He will take a mortal wound to his head like JFK did, and he will die, and he will be raised from the dead, and the whole world will wonder after him. Well, again, I've said this before, that makes good novels, it makes good movies, and it makes good talk, but it's not biblical. It's not scriptural. Again, the word head, one of his heads is, first of all, it's plural tense, not singular. It's not the head on his shoulders. It's the head of one of the heads of his nations. So one of the heads of one of the nations that this Antichrist will have rule over will take a mortal wound and will rise again. Okay, again, I want to read on this. Here it is. Again, this term heads refers to one of the seven heads that is mentioned that we talked about. The seven heads represents the seven empires of Bible prophecy. It will take it will look like it's been wiped out, it's been annihilated, it's finished, but then it will rise up again. And when it rises up, that is when people will marvel. All right, so let me get on down here. So I wanted to clarify that. It's not talking about a head on your shoulders. It's talking about one of the kingdoms, one of the nations, all right? So they worship, listen to this, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Why? Because it seems like you can't wipe out his army. He keeps coming back. He's rose up from a small army and become great. He's got a large following. Oh, and it gets better here in a second. Watch this. So they worship the dragon. They worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast. Now, it's interesting. Again, remember the scripture says he was given a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies, given authority. Satan empower him to do this. And they will say, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And again, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. He was given authority to continue for 42 months. All right. And in the midst of this, I want to pull up something else here that I wrote here and that I took some notes on here. I got to show you this. In the book of Revelation, it talks about when John is describing, he describes the seven kings. He says the seven kings, listen what he says here, five have fallen. Now, who are those five that have fallen? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes, the Persians, the Grecians. He names these five empires. They've come and they've fallen. He said, there are also seven kings. He says, Five have fallen. One is. The one is, he's speaking present tense. The empire or the kings, one of the kings or the empires of the nations that stood in his day was the Roman Empire. So the one is the Roman Empire. Five have fallen. One is, which is Rome. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short time. The beast that which was, plural tense, and is not, himself is also the eighth. So in other words, again, whoever this eighth empire is, and the beast, this empire of the beast, will consist of an empire that previously existed. Do y'all see that? Listen to that again. The beast that was, plural tense, or past tense, and is not, himself also the eighth. This is coming. Listen to this. And is of the seven. He's of the seven and is going into perdition. The 10 horns, verse 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Did you hear that? So let me back up again. Antichrist rises to power. He starts out little. He starts small. He forms an army. He starts taking over Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. He starts gaining traction, gaining power. He starts gaining recognition. His kingdom that he's connected with, or that he rises out of, took a mortal wound, one of these empires, and begins to rise again from the ashes. And now it strikes fear in the hearts of the nations of the world. And it's so much so, listen to this, that 10 kings. Now, don't ask me who these 10 kings are, because you don't know and neither do I. These are all assumptions. We can't be dogmatic. Well, I tell you, these 10 kings are blah, 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 blah. No, you don't know that. Well, they're the 10 nations of the EU. You can't prove that. You don't know who these 10 kings are. We can only speculate. But whoever these 10 empires that will be formed in the last days, whoever they are, your Bible says in the book of Revelation that they are going to surrender their power and authority over to the Antichrist. Now, you don't tell me this dude ain't bad and he's fierce. Remember, he's the king of fierce countenance. Who can make war with the beast? And they will surrender their power over to the beast. And it says, listen to this, of these 10 kings, they are of one. This is all Revelation 17, by the way, guys. Revelation 17, 7 through 18. These kings are of one mind. They will give their power and authority over to the beast. And they will make war with the Lamb. Who's that? Jesus. In other words, they will align themselves with the Antichrist to make war with, come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I got bad news for him. And it says, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him, he are called, chosen, and faithful. And then he said to me, this is John speaking, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, and I don't even want to get on to that. I better not get on that, because that's a whole other message, talking about the whore Babylon and that. And if I get in that rabbit trail, we'll go another 30 minutes. So we'll save that for another time. So again, I believe the final beast, we're going to close with this, guys. The final beast that John saw and Daniel didn't will be made. He tells you it's going to be made up of three empires, the leopard, the bear, and the lion. All three of these animal symbols are found in the book of Daniel. Daniel did describe them. And that's where their origin is. That's where the alpha is. But the omega of these empires come to fruition with the eighth and final empire. Daniel describes these three empires of Bible prophecy as, again, Babylon, Media and Persia and Greece. By the way, Babylon consists of Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. The Medes and Persian at that time consisted of Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. And then you have Greece. Now, it's interesting. What does the, again, what predominantly, the common denominator predominantly of these nations is, they're all Islam, Islamic, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, for the exception of Greece. But can I, but even Islam has infiltrated Greece. And you say, why is that important? Because I am of the opinion, and again, you can disagree with me, and there's going to be different agreements and disagreements. It's my opinion that it's very plausible that the religion of the Antichrist of the Bible could very well be Islam. And I, guys, it would take me an hour just to prove that and develop that. So what are we, again, this is the anatomy. This is the description of this Antichrist and his final kingdom that's rising to power. So I believe, and I left this out. Let me finish. Let me say this real quick. I believe the empire that took a mortal wound to its head and will rise again. And this is going to be the empire. I believe that the Antichrist of the Bible is going to rise out of. And I believe that empire is the Babylonian Empire. Again, he's called the Assyrian. He's called the King of Fierce Countenance. There's another, and I left this out. One of the scriptures calls him the King of Babylon. All these little names, these descriptions, these characteristics, all this, the location. When you put all the puzzle pieces together, I believe where exactly where John saw it from, the history, the attributes, all that is there. And I believe that is where your Antichrist is coming. That's where we need to be looking, watching from, when eventually things are going to shift. Not only is Israel going to be the center focal point, but you're going to start seeing these Middle Eastern nations that we read about in times of old in the book of Daniel. You're going to start seeing them. Why do you think Isaiah 17, there's a prophecy over Isaiah 17 that says Damascus will be a ruinous heap. It will be destroyed. That has not happened yet. That has not happened yet. So something's got to kick this thing off. There's a war of Gog and Magog, by the way, which is all these Islamic nations along with portions of Russia that come in and invade Israel. These are wars and prophetic things that has to take place before the major war of Armageddon. So guys, that's going to conclude this teaching. That's going to conclude our first message of many on this series. Again, we're talking about the rise of the beast and his final empire. This is the first message. So I want to encourage you. We'll be back on our next week, and we'll finish. Hopefully, they'll get that fixed on Facebook with Zoom, so we can pull up those. I had a lot of slides and pictures and so on and so forth that I want to bring up, and we'll try to bring them up next time when we can. Hopefully, they'll get all that worked out. But again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We want to encourage you guys, if you've not subscribed to the main website, you can do that on Facebook Live. If you'll click down on the description, there's a description right there under the link. If you'll go there and click on the link right there, it's going to take you to our main website. When you go to that website, it's going to show you where you can subscribe. It's going to show you where you can subscribe to our podcast. You can download our free app on Android or Apple. You guys listen by podcast and listen by YouTube. Again, go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org.com. That's where you're going to be able to do all that. If you'd like to sow into this ministry, guys, as always, we want to give you an opportunity to partner with us, or to be if you want to bless this ministry with a one-time gift of any amount for being a source of information, revelation, equipping, encouraging throughout the week, we want to encourage you to do that. And you can do that again either clicking on the link on Facebook Live or going to our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on YouTube, you can see that right there. You guys on podcast, if you'll wait to the end of this podcast, right after that, there's going to be more information on how you can do that. So we love you guys. God bless you again. Stay safe. Stay blessed. May the Lord's blessings be upon you. May his countenance shine upon you. And may he keep you until we see you again next week. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.